Good evening and welcome to Business Beat Lehigh Valley. This is WDIY 88.1 FM. The Lehigh Valley is booming, and that's why Business Beat brings you a program keeping tabs on the who, what, when, where, why, and how our area is growing and innovating. I am Sally Hanlon, your host of a program that brings business leaders of our community together for conversations about the Lehigh Valley, its business developments, and how it's moving forward. And tonight, I think I have a very timely guest with us because I wanted to focus on political careers and people who are perhaps interested and want to do something different and support their community. So in today's politically charged and diverse environment, it is challenging to understand the basics of a political career. What are the best qualifications to have to start? What do you have to bring to it in addition to understanding the responsibilities of the position? You may also make sure that you are understanding the needs of your constituents. Then there is the developing of a campaign message, volunteers, marketing, raising money, dealing with influencers, lobbyists, making speeches, whether it is local, state, or federal. We are fortunate here to have local legislators who work together for the Lehigh Valley and its constituents. And tonight, we're focusing on a person that I have watched his career grow over the years, and I am very happy to introduce you to Mike Schlossberg. Mike is the state representative for the 132nd District, and he's an author of two books, Redemption, which is a trilogy, and Tweets and Consequences. Mike, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here with us.
Glad to be here, Sally. Boy, I haven't thought about those books in ages. Time moves on very, very fast, but thank you for mentioning them.
Sure. Well, the one, Tweets and Consequences, I have not read that one. I've read the first of your trilogies.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think that part of my career is on hiatus as the full-time job takes up more and more time, but that's all right.
Well, and that's understandable with what's going on today. Even, you know, locally and state, besides the federal government, things are just really charged. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background? I don't want to spoil it with what I know about you.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for the kind words. As I joke, my dirty political secret, and don't tell anyone, is that I'm originally from New Jersey. I was actually born and raised there. I tease people that, you know, practical requirement of being a Lehigh Valley elected official is having a relative who was either a public employee of some way or a son of a Bethlehem steelworker, something like that. But I came here through Jersey. I actually came here 20 plus years ago as a freshman at Muhlenberg College, which I'm now very honored to be able to represent. And I couldn't wait to get out of here because I didn't like it until I started integrating myself in the community. And for me, that started with an internship with my predecessor and friend and mentor, former representative Jennifer Mann. And while working in her office, I really got to know Allentown and the surrounding area, fell in love with it, stayed, got my master's degree at Lehigh, started working for the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, an organization that will always hold a very special place in my heart. And I'm grateful for everything they did for me and for the Valley. Ran for Allentown City Council in 2009, won. I was at the time, not even close anymore, but at the time, the youngest member of Allentown City Council. And then in 2012, Jennifer Mann decided she wasn't going to run for re-election. We spoke, she supported me. I ran, was elected, and haven't looked back.
That's quite a career, Mike. And your journey has been extremely fun to watch. And I've been very proud to be associated with your early days at Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you.
You have, in your terms, talked about some things that have really interested you and affected you personally. And one of the things is you provide a focus on mental health in many things that you do, either legislatively or in the community. Can you share maybe a little bit about how you got into that and where that journey has taken you? I think it's even been to Washington, D.C., correct?
A couple of times, yeah. I'm very lucky. Well, I'm very lucky in 100 different ways. But from a mental health perspective, not only that I was able always to get the treatment that I needed, but be able to use my personal story to try to inspire others to do the same. Like 1 in 5 and rising Americans, I've suffered from some sort of mental illness. I've had depression, anxiety issues probably my whole life, but they really exploded when I was in college. Like a lot of folks, it's a pretty common story, unfortunately. During that time, my depression and anxiety was really unabated. I became suicidal. And I was lucky in that the Muhlenberg Counseling Center and then the subsequent medication that I went on was able to quite literally saved my life. I've been in and out of treatment as needed. I still take medication on a regular basis, but I've tried to use my story on mental illness to inform my public policy. I wasn't something I always talked about. That changed with the suicide of Robin Williams. I wound up inspired by his circumstances and by some of the public reaction to it to start talking about my own behavioral health issues. And I used that then to try to inspire better public policy, put more funding into behavioral health, reduce the stigma surrounding it, and in total, get people to better understand the challenges surrounding mental health and the need for real treatment. We've had some successes. I co-founded the Mental Health Caucus in Harrisburg. It's something I'm still very involved in. I've spoken at press conferences in DC in front of Congress with our former Congresswoman, Susan Wild. The point is, you use your story for public good. And all of us, well, at least the vast majority of us in public service in some way, have tried to use our personal experiences to enhance the public and to enhance our ability to do good works. I think that's always been one of the things that's been pleasantly surprising to me, at least at this level of government, at the state, is that the vast majority of elected officials, Democrat or Republican, wake up every day and go, what good can I do today? Now, we have very differences on what that good looks like, but I still, even in these moments, still believe that that's what most of us are here to do.
Okay. So would you say then it's really a pre-requirement or a prerequisite of someone who's thinking about getting into politics, Mike, to really think about their engagement in the community and their personal story, because they may be asked to reveal it?
Yes. And I do it's a tough line, because I've spoken with plenty of my colleagues who, like me, have suffered from some sort of mental illness and aren't nearly as open about it. And it's tough trying to find that balancing act between revealing who you are and still being able to be a whole person. Every elected official has a brand, and my brand has always been, I think, very honest and emotionally available. Let's go with that. Sally, as you can unfortunately testify to, you know, I am exactly who I am in public as I am in private. I am goofy and honest and, I hope, direct and blunt. And everybody who's considering running for office needs to figure out who they want to be and how honest and open they want to be with the public that they seek to represent. And more importantly, you got to know why. If you want to run for office, you have to know what good you want to do. You don't have to know all of the answers. That is should never be a prerequisite for running for office, but you have to know why you want to do what you want to do.
Well, the other thing is you've got to, I would think, develop some thick skin, because no matter what you do, somebody's not going to like it.
Yep, that is always true. And if you are afraid of criticism, then you need to, I'm not going to say re-examine, because look, I've been a public official for 15 plus years. I don't smile when I get a nasty email telling me how much I suck, but you sort of have to figure out how to let it roll off your back. You know, I laugh about it. Unfortunately, over the past few years, I developed minor tinnitus in my left ear. And the way you manage tinnitus is rather than focusing on it obsessively, you say, okay, well, there's that. That's nice. Let's move on. And when you get a critical email or complaint, you don't focus on it obsessively. You go, okay, well, that sure did happen. Anyway, moving on. And that's a skill that's taken me years to master. But I think there's a lot of truth to it.
That's a tough one. I know even working, I worked for the city government here in Bethlehem early on in my career. Mm-hmm. And even then, I would hear from taxpayers. And I was in Parks and Recreation, you know, so it really wasn't affecting much. But
right.
I got hit both ways as well.
Yep.
So
that comes with the territory. And you do have to be ready to deal with it. You don't have to like it, but you've got to figure out how you're going to manage it if running for public office is something you want to do.
Well, and the other thing is you have to realize if you're not honest with yourself about who you are and what you're trying to do, somebody's going to do some digging.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it really varies. Like, there's a lot of people who are terrified that all their worst secrets will come out if they run for city council, and that's not really the case usually. But you've got to be careful with things that you've said and done. So as you were kind enough to allude to my first book, which was on how politicians have done stupid things on social media. And, you know, you've got to be careful with what you say on social media. And even knowing what I'm doing on social media, I've screwed up from time to time. And that's a challenge, to put it politely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, recently, Mike, you were tapped by the Lehigh County League of Women Voters to keynote a workshop on running for local office. I'm making an assumption here. I would assume that running for local office is feeling the same consequences that a lot of our local organizations are feeling, and that people don't want to volunteer. People don't want to get engaged. They just want to stay in their balloon or their mm-hmm. world and not branch out. How was the attendance at that?
Pretty good, actually. And that was That was nice to see. Typically, you see a wave of activism and interest and engagement in the aftermath of a presidential election from the other side. We saw it after the 08 election with the rise of the Tea Party. We saw it in the aftermath of 2016 with the Women's March, and 2018 was the year of the woman when it came to electoral politics. And I think we're starting to see it reversed as well. So there were a lot of people there, and it's nice to see that there were a lot of people there at the local level, because typically that's when there's the least amount of votes and the least amount of engagement, when the truth is that local government will have the most direct impact on your life. And I'm talking about school board and local municipalities and county government. Those are the levels of government that you will see most directly when your streets aren't paved, or when your kid gets a poor quality education, or when your property taxes rise unnecessarily.
That's correct. That's correct. So what was important? What did you stress in your keynote when you were looking at this audience? Oh, by the way, was it pretty much 50-50 men and women?
Yes, it actually was.
Okay.
Which, again, good to see. We've got to do a better job of getting women more engaged in politics. And I think that has been changing over time, certainly been changing in Harrisburg, where the number of women is in at least the House of Representatives is at an all-time high. And we also have our first female speaker in Joanna McClinton. But when I spoke, some of it was the practical advice, like people, you need to be ready to knock on doors, to figure out how to communicate with voters. You need to figure out how to ask your friends for money, because like it or not, that's an important skill to have. And some of it was trying to talk about how impactful you could be at the local level with issues big and small. I was on Allentown City Council for 2.5 years, and some stuff you do is headline grabbing. Like, we tried to ban the use of handheld cell phones in the city of Allentown while driving, a law which unfortunately got struck down. And that was something that I did, but we still changed behavior, so I still called it a win. And then it's smaller things, like making sure the city's risk management fund is properly funded. Some of it's sexy and important, other stuff is really boring and brick and mortar. But it doesn't change the fact that it's gonna have an impact on people's lives one way or the other, that everything you do in government, even small, can have a major impact on somebody's life. And that's something I was really able to be proud of, and one of the reasons I encourage people to get involved.
And I think you're absolutely correct. You know, there's nothing, quite honestly, that we can affect in some of the larger scale, like at the federal government level,
yep,
as an individual. But we can make positive change in our local government by just being aware, staying engaged, staying involved, even if you don't run for office.
Yep, absolutely. And how people choose to get involved is very important given the sheer amount of ways that they can do so. There are always activist groups or local parties that need time and attention and care. There's always campaigns that people can volunteer for. If politics and campaigning aren't your thing, but governance is, most local municipalities have planning boards or zoning boards or recreation boards that need your time and expertise. There is always a way to give back to your community and your government.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm trying to get more active myself in my own community. And listeners, we're going to take a break at the moment. So you start thinking about your own communities while we take this break. You're listening to Business Beat with our guest, State Representative Michael Schlossberg. And we're talking about political careers and things to think about, even beyond political careers, about getting involved in your communities. We'll be right back.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Petey Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
Welcome back to our Business Beat program. We are talking with our guest, State Representative Michael Schlossberg. And before we went to break, we were talking about things to think about if you're looking to be a part of the political environment, the political landscape, you know, if you're thinking about running for office, considerations. And Mike recently just was a keynote speaker at the Lehigh County League of Women Voters workshop, which he sort of gave us a view into since we weren't there. So, Mike, now that we've talked a little bit about things to think about if you want to go in, as I was putting this show together, I started comparing running for office with starting a business. Is that something that you've ever sort of put together, or does it make sense?
Absolutely. And I would say this, having, you know, when I was younger, I had like little side gigs that were side businesses. So it's something that I've got a little bit of familiarity with, and certainly more importantly at the Chamber of Commerce. There are a lot of ways that they're different. You know, I hate people. Oh, we're going to run government like a business. Well, yeah. The goal of government isn't to make a profit. It's to care for people and provide certain safe nets. There are similarities there. The chief one is that you have to be strategic and plan appropriately. When I first decided I was running for city council and then again state representative, I made a plan. I literally wrote out, this is what I want to accomplish. This is how I want to do it. This is what I need to do. These are the meetings I need to have, the steps I need to take. And writing a business plan is very similar. And in creating those plans, you have to be honest and unflinching. You have to think about what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and what's your pathway to success. That's the biggest overlap when it comes to starting. And from there, a lot of it is just networking and reaching out, building connections, and figuring out how to take advantage of those connections.
One of the things that I think is probably, they're opposites of each other. I know that many small business owners have difficulty promoting themselves in their own business, where if you're running for an office, you better not have that hesitancy.
Yep, absolutely. And it's interesting too, and this, candidly, this is something I run into. Like, while there is no shortage of large egos in government and politics, it can be difficult for some people, and I think it's something I've struggled with from time to time, to toot your own horn.
Mm-hmm.
How you try to do that in both government and business, if that's a challenge, is you don't necessarily need to talk about yourself, but you can talk about your actions, what you're doing, how your product or service, or in the case of being in government, what you're working on, your initiatives, votes, or legislation will help people. That's a much better way to do it. There were countless ways that the Chamber of Commerce benefited my career. But the one that I remember the most, really, and still carry with me to this day, was they enrolled me in a Dale Carnegie 12-week class.
Oh, I loved that class.
Oh, Sally, that class changed my life, and I mean that sincerely. Yeah. And it taught me a fundamental lesson that I've carried with me to this, many, but the one that I remember the most is this fundamental lesson. It applies if you're in politics and in business. Nobody cares about you. They care about themselves and their family. So if you're going to truly serve people, you have to be able to talk about how what you're doing will help them. You have to be good at listening and understanding people, and listening not just to listen, but listening to actually comprehend. And if you can't master those skills, you'll probably fail in government and in business.
Well, you know, Mike, I'm doing some work with my book, and one of the things in my book is called Connect. And I quote Dale Carnegie in that as well, because it talks about how you make friends, which is something that we sort of lose the ability to do as we get older. And we forget that we have to listen to others and not tell them about ourselves. Just what you're saying. It's extremely important to use through all our lives. So do we get any commissions from Dale Carnegie about this?
If I did, I'd be a rich man by now. I can't say enough good things about what that class taught me. And it taught me someone in politics, but, you know, anybody, frankly.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple other things about a business and running a political career. One of the things that just sort of frustrates me all the time, no sooner do you guys get elected, and then if you have a 2-year term, you're on it again. How do you manage? How do you juggle those balls?
Well, first, checks can be made to friends. No. and the unfortunate truth is that we have to run for office every 2 years. It's a relic of a time when communicating with your elected officials was much more difficult. These days, I am never more than a text or an email away and very easy to get a hold of. Candidly, it should be every 4 years. And if I had a magic wand, I would make it that way. It will never pass, and I've never even bothered trying because it would never pass, but it should be every 4 years. This is too much, because you do waste too much time raising money. The longer I've been in office, the more time I've had to spend raising money. And I'm at the state legislative level. I cannot imagine what a nightmare it is at a higher level, at the congressional level. You know, you have to spend 10, 20 hours a week on the phone dialing for dollars. It's frustrating, but you've got to be honest with yourself. When you hit a certain point in government, that's part of the price you pay for entry. And I hate it, but it's still a reality. It's still something that you have to manage. How you manage it, you have to be good with your time. And you also have to really, especially at my level, where they really pay appropriately, but where you really have people watching you, is you've got to be really, really ethical. And unfortunately, you know, in Allentown, we've seen what happens when you intermix campaigns and governance. And you've really got to be very, very conscientious about what you say, where you say it. You know, anytime I do a fundraising call or an email, somebody says yes, great. Somebody says no, great. I always conclude with, if you need anything out of me, please let me know. And you always say that regardless of whether or not they say yes or no, because you never want to connect a fundraising pitch and a government action. You always need to be very careful about where you make phone calls from. You know, I'm in my legislative office right now. We're having a legislative conversation. Cool. But I could never make a fundraising call from here because that would clearly be an ethical violation. It's one of those things that you've always got to monitor, and it takes time and training to really understand.
So then, Mike, are you running two offices at the same time? Do you have a campaign office and your political?
I do campaign calls out of my office at home.
Okay.
So I will do that. Like, that's where I manage that. Some people have campaign offices. I'm a state rep. I can just make calls in my basement in my pajamas. It's cool.
Like the rest of us, how
yeah,
we go
exactly,
to work.
Exactly. And that's it gets a little strange because I can, from my home office, like, I can make campaign calls. I can also do government work. That's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I'm in my legislative office right now, which means I can't do anything campaign related. You really got to pay attention to that because it could be too easy to slip up and respond to that email. Go, no, not here.
Okay, so let's talk about this two-year term thing. And I agree with you completely. I don't believe we should have two-year terms at any level of government because it takes a while to get in the groove and get in the know and get the ropes. And 2 years is pretty short. For a small business, it usually takes 2 to 3 years for them to know whether they're going to survive. And by maybe year five is where they've got a little bit more solid ground. For you, obviously you came through several ranks, but getting to Harrisburg in particular, let's focus on that. How long does it take to really get to know the system and move around, let alone where the buildings are?
There's different answers to that question. You know, within the first 6 months, you've got a vague idea of the rhythm of Harrisburg. And within the first couple of years, you're like, okay, I think I know where all the rooms are. But that's not enough to succeed. It's usually by 2 or 3 terms that you're like, okay, I think I know how to pass a bill without having to turn to somebody desperately for advice. And by the end of 4 or 5, it's like, all right, I know who to ask this money for, and I know how to shake the tree a little bit when I'm trying to get money for my district. So, like everything in business, there's different levels of mastery, and the longer you're there, the better positioned you are to actually succeed. Frankly, that's one of the reasons I've always very loudly opposed term limits. You know, only in government can people say, okay, you only have a certain amount of time to build up enough expertise, and then you're out. We have term limits. They're called elections. If people don't like what I'm doing, they can throw my butt out of office. Mm-hmm. But the longer you're there, the better you become, the more effective you become. And the more likely it is that you can rise the leadership ranks, obtain some sort of position of influence, and then make sure that the people you represent have an even louder voice in places of power.
Interesting. Because one of the things that's also happening as you grow your own skills and abilities is your counterparts might be changing. Because
absolutely.
So what you might have had as a path last year may change this year.
Yep, absolutely. And that, you know, we've spent the first decade of my career in the minority. The past 2 terms, I've been in the majority. And that really changes what you're doing and who your opposition is.
Yeah, very interesting. Mike, there's something, especially with what's happening these days, that it seems that some of the characteristics that were so important for political candidates to have, for our legislators to have, like the ability to debate and negotiate, compromise, agree to disagree, and partner don't seem to be in the vocabulary anymore. Is this just me from the outside looking in?
Oh, and there's no question. And even I was elected in 2012, and even in my time, I've seen things go downhill dramatically. That's been happening really since the 90s in some way, that level of partisanship and breakdowns and compromises accelerated, but it keeps getting worse over time. And that's something that's deeply concerning. The Lehigh Valley has, not all the time, but typically elected politicians who figured out how to be successful by working on both sides of the aisle. And I'm definitely a throwback in that I've always been very proud of the relationships I've built with Republicans and figured out ways to compromise and do good things, but at the same time still stick to my Democratic and progressive values. Threading that needle has always been tough, but especially the past few years, it continues to get worse. And that's one of the many things that does make me concerned about the future.
And where does somebody pick up that skill and ability? Because it seems like we're losing it through culture.
So it really depends. And honestly, that's part of the issue. I was politically raised by people like Jennifer Mann and, to a lesser extent, Don Cunningham, who were always kind of bipartisan oriented. And they concentrated more on getting things done rather than scoring points. That is declining. I will say, there's also no doubt about it, my experience with the Chamber of Commerce taught me, listen to people, understand their real problems, and figure out how to make things work without regard for partisan identity. And that really helped. As you have more people get politically raised, quote unquote, by more extreme ends of the idea of the political spectrum, you create problems and you make it harder for those folks to understand the importance of compromise and bipartisanship to get things done.
I just, you know, I'm concerned that we as a population, as a culture, are not following what we learned from Dale Carnegie, and that is to listen. And I don't know, where does that education start in schools, in high school? Is it something that we've got to make sure in college? Is it something that we've got to run as, you know, the League of Women Voters? Is that sort of a group that has to, you know, help push that? Because they're non-party related. They're just sort of the political ability to share what's going on.
Yes. Those groups can help. The challenge is that the voice of those groups and groups like it gets drowned out in an ecosystem where being loud and outraged gets you more clicks and likes and shares and retweets. And we have a media incentive now to be outrageous and to be angry. It's something that I've certainly done and I hope don't do anymore. It's something as a lesson that I've learned. But as long as people continue to be incentivized with outrage, we are going to really struggle to check this idea that it's my way or the highway. And that's going to make government more dysfunctional and hurt our ability to have government be a force for good one way or the other in society.
And as we begin to wrap down the show now, Mike, and I could think I could talk to you for a lot longer.
I'm so sorry.
You know, the constituents, it often seems that the constituents get lost once somebody goes to office. Mm-hmm. Is that a perception that I have, or does that seem to be overreaching?
I think it's a challenge for all of us to stay connected. And candidly, as I've risen the ranks in leadership, I've always really made a conscious effort to try to be here and be present, go to as many events as possible. And that, yeah, there's a tough balancing act there, because the more you're in Harrisburg, the less you're at home. Mm-hmm. But your job is to be in Harrisburg, and that's how you ultimately serve your constituents. So trying to figure out how to balance that is always a challenge. It's easier for some than others, and all of us in office have to develop ways to make sure that we stay in touch with our constituents, that we continue to go to events and be present despite whatever Harrisburg-related obligations we have, because that is the core of the job. The answer ultimately comes down to how good the elected official in question is, how much they enjoy being in Harrisburg or D.C. versus being at home, and what they're able to do when it comes to staying in touch with their districts. And we all develop different ways to do it. For me, I call folks in my district on their birthdays. That's my thing. 65 and older, you get a birthday call from me if we have a phone number for you. And that helps me listen to people's complaints and issues, and it helps let other people know where I am and how to get a hold of me. But it's a challenge. Yeah. And it's an easier challenge to master for some rather than others.
Okay. And we're about to close the show, but just, is there one piece of advice? If someone's listening tonight and they are thinking, okay, maybe I will consider a political career, maybe mm-hmm. I've got to do some groundwork. Is there one piece of advice you would give them?
Do it. Like, that's the piece of advice. As I said at the start of this, I am nobody special. I came here from New Jersey with no connections or anything like that. While I'm lucky enough to get a wonderful education and have supportive parents and all that, so my life prepared me for this. I didn't start with anything here, and I was able to do some good work because I tried and because I found this job rewarding. So if you have an interest in running for public office, I would say do it, because you can do, even in this environment, especially in this environment where people are more desperate for authentic leadership than ever, you can do great things. I still believe that. That's why I'm still here.
And again, thanks for taking the time today. And I know you're in Harrisburg. So again, Mike, thanks for being a part of WDIY's Business Beat.
My pleasure, Sally. Thanks so much for having me.
And I also want to thank you, our listeners, for making time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other community programming at WDIY.org and on major podcast platforms. I'm Sally Handlin, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more conversations about the Lehigh Valley. And we'll see you next time on Business Beat.